Good Saturday morning to you. It's time once again for our wine chat with our friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Morning, Jack.
Demi, how are you this morning?
I'm doing quite well. It's a rather fresh morning, if you want to use that crisp. 39 degrees, the official temp. What can we talk about this morning?
You know, I thought in light of the weather, let's talk about a grape varietal that goes with the weather. You know, crisps. Good for a cold, chilly day, and that is the dark-skinned red Syrah. And now, Syrah has several names. You've probably heard of Shiraz or Syrah. They're both the same. The only one that's different is Petit Syrah, and it has no bearing on either of the aforementioned. But today, we're going to talk about Syrah and Shiraz. And the nomenclature difference really comes from Australia, where the Syrah grape, they pronounce Shiraz, S-H-I-R-A-Z. And it's a little like they like to talk about things. When you go over to a barbecue in Australia, they say, well, come, we're going to throw some shrimp on the Barbie or steak on the Barbie instead of barbecue. And perhaps that's what happened with the nomenclature on Syrah and Shiraz. It's a wonderful grape type. And, of course, it depends on the climate it's grown in, what it gets like. In a moderate climate, such as the Northern Rhone or Walla Walla, Washington, you get very full-bodied, robust grape types with the flavors of blackberry, pepper, and a big, heavy nose. If it's hot, like Australia, you'll find it's more jammier with a little, maybe, hint of licorice or a nose of a little bit like wet leather. That doesn't sound very good, but actually it's not a bad description. And the good news about all the Syrahs is they're all age-worthy. Syrah will take age for a long time. It's a big, big, dark red wine. In fact, it's one of the few red wines you simply can't usually see through it. It's so dark and inky. So it makes very, very big, robust wines. And there's about almost a half a million acres worldwide that are planted with Syrah. So it's growing in popularity tremendously. It is the seventh most popular varietal produced around the world. And that's amazing for a grape that probably had 2,000 acres, maybe 5,000 acres, planted back in 1930. So in the last almost 100 years, it has grown by almost 100-fold. And, you know, it's grown all over the world. You find it in Chile, Australia, South Africa, France, New Zealand, California, Washington. Washington is, our state of Washington, is a big new popular area for planting Syrah. And there's a lot of wonderful Syrahs coming out of there. As I say, Syrah is a big, robust wine and really goes better with like today, where the temperature has dipped down and your appetite perks up and you want something big and bold, look no further than Syrah. Syrah's origin is very, very famous. There's an area in the Northern Rhone called Hermitage, and Hermitage was a very popular wine throughout the last 200 years. In fact, Thomas Jefferson was known to have bought Syrah in Hermitage in France back in the 1700s when he was the ambassador over there. And perhaps the greatest wine in the world at the turn of the last century in the 1900s in London, if you had an unlimited budget and you wanted the best wine, you'd have something called Lafite Hermitage, which is where they took Chateau Lafite Rothschild and blended it with the Hermitage and produced a wine of those two types. Lafite was always an expensive wine, and Hermitage was another expensive wine, and blended, and they came bottled like that, Lafite Hermitage, and it was a wonderful treat. That Syrah grape in the Hermitage kind of added body and gusto to the Cabernet that's in the Lafite, and extraordinarily popular. So we've now, with DNA and all those wonderful things, they can tell pretty much where grapes came from. And, you know, a lot of people thought Syrah came from the ancient Persian capital of Shiraz, which is now Tehran in Iran. But not true. It really, its DNA discovered that it was born absolutely in the raw Rhone Valley, in the northern Rhone Valley, and that's where it's from. But it's a noble grape. Pliny the Elder in 75 A.D. wrote about Syrah, or a grape that we think was Syrah, and it was wonderful. And, you know, in Australia, the number one grape type, or the number one wine, and I think most everybody would agree with me, is something called Grange. Maybe Hill of Grace is right up there, too. But they are the premier wines of Australia. And Grange, up until about 7 years ago, was called Grange Hermitage, because Hermitage had a very, very noble ringing to it. Actually, Hermitage was started, there's a hill in the northern Rhone Valley called the Hermitage. There's a little chapel up there. A hermit built it after the Crusades, and it stayed there. It's kind of a rocky ruin at the moment instead of a nice little chapel. But that's where the name comes from, Hermitage. And those northern Rhones were just unbelievable. Now, Syrah in France, you won't see very much of, except from the Languedoc. You know, in France, we should talk about sometime, they don't use varietals on the label. For example, when we talk about things like Sancerre, we're talking about Sauvignon Blanc, or Vouvray, Chenin Blanc, or Meursault, Chardonnay, or Von Romani, Pinot Noir. The French, you know, have their own names, and usually they're geographic, to protect them. So Syrah is protected, the word, S-Y-R-A-H, is protected by the French government, Department of Agriculture, and they claim it belongs to them. So, but as I said, Syrah and Shiraz are used all over, particularly here in the United States. They're, you never know which one's going to be on the label, but they are indeed the very same wine, except, as I said, for something called Petit Syrah, and that isn't related to either to the Syrah, whether you use the pronunciation Syrah or Shiraz. But there is some myth in France that the Phoenicians brought, or the Persians bought that wonderful Syrah into France, and who knows, that could be true, maybe it isn't true, but that Hermitage gets its name from, as I said, the hermit who came in after the Crusades and lived in a little chapel on this hill. And in the 1800s through about 1930, Hermitage was totally Syrah, and the Hermitage Syrah was used mainly for blending, you know, with great wines, particularly with Bordeaux, because clarets in those days were much lighter, and Syrah added real body, particularly in weak vintages. They wanted to add that Syrah, and they did the same thing with Syrah in the Rhone, from the Rhone Valley in Burgundy in weak vintages. Well, in the 1930s, the French government began to clamp down on that, and so we don't really hear much about it. In 1831, Australia imported its first Syrahs, and it was very, very impressive. By the 1860s, it was a very important grape type, and it was planted, Margaret River, Barossa. Today in Australia, they have over 100,000 acres of Syrah planted around the country, and it is the number one red wine and the most popular one in Australia. And like I say, today, if you get, say, a Northern Rhone, you want to get a Hermitage or perhaps a Cote Roti or a Coronis. Those are all 100% Syrah. In the Southern Rhone, Châteauneuf-du-Pape, Gigondas, even Cote de Rhone, they've used a lot of Syrah in blending them, even though Grenache is the principal grape type in the Southern Rhone. There's plenty of Syrah there, and they're blended together. And you could even get from the Cote de Rhone 100% Cote de Rhone, a Syrah from the Cote de Rhone that's 100% Syrah. Syrahs really age very well. It's one of the few grape types that you could honestly keep for 15 years and enjoy it as it ages. It's really good. It's got balance, structure. In fact, in Australia, they have a fish called sparkling Syrahs, and they make a sparkling wine from the Syrahs, and actually, it's a very pleasant drink. The The rest of the world uses Syrah, and as I said, it's become popular because it's blended all over the world. Today, you find Syrah being blended in Portugal, Spain, Italy, USA. So we went from 1930 of having 6,000 acres, today almost a 500,000 planted around the world. In the Rhone, it's home soil. The quality and climate, the winemakers, all are what make the thing vary. But the Rhone produces, I think, some of the best in the world. Australia, as I said about Grange Hermitage, is about 95% Syrah, and they put a little bit of Cabernet, the other 5%, to produce one of the great, great red wines of the entire world. It's really just remarkable. The plantings in countries such as Spain and Italy go up all the time. And once in a while, you'll see a wine from Australia labeled GSM. It's a blending of Grenache, Syrah, and Moudouvre. It's really just terrific. And South Africa has come into the play recently, and there's about 30,000 acres planted in South Africa. And, of course, in the United States, either name can be used, whether you're going to call it Shiraz or Syrah. And it was popularized in the 1980s by a group of winemakers called the Rhone Rangers. And they were specializing in Rhone varietals, such as Grenache and Syrah, etc. And it became a big comer. Today, the state of Washington, as I said earlier, is producing some Syrahs that are, in my opinion, just world class. And you can get a Syrah from Argentina, Chile, any place. And Syrah goes very good with meat. And it's a very healthy wine for you because there's a lot of antioxidants in Syrah. So there you have a nippy morning to think about Syrah. And maybe you go out today and buy yourself a bottle of Syrah and enjoy it with a big cut of steak on the grill.
You've just solved my evening culinary choices there. Yes. And going to Haskell's, you're going to find a great selection, right?
Indeed. We have lots of Syrahs, whether your favorite is Grange from Australia, or you want something more modest, like a little Syrah in Cote de Rhone, or a Syrah from Washington, you'll find it at Haskell's. And best of all, at Haskell's, you're going to find that those wines are priced right. They love to talk about wine. They love to marry wine with food. So stop in and let them help you. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington, Chanhassen. There's a Haskell's in downtown Excelsior. In Faribault, right off of 35, you'll find a Haskell's. Our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be missed. In Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. And Minnetonka, at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury. And, of course, you can always go to Haskells.com or WCCO.com/wine and look at Haskell's website. And you can also, incidentally, visit our wine bar on Nicollet Mall. It's an interesting place to stop in and have a glass of Syrah.
It's a lot of fun there for sure. Well, Jack, let's talk again next week, see what Mother Nature has in plan.
Denny, I'm going to look forward to it.
Me too. Thanks, Jack. Bye-bye. Jack Farrell from Haskell's.